Praise God. Oh, thank you. Thank you, musicians. Praise the Lord.
The Lord is risen. Amen. Amen. Take your Bibles. You're going to want to turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 14. John's Gospel, chapter 14. And I'm delighted to be here. Isn't it a beautiful, beautiful morning? You know, Connie and I really enjoy this time of the year. And, you know, the warm days that we've been having, and the flowers in bloom and the trees and all that stuff, it just makes me feel like jumping up and down and shouting and screaming. And so, and then on top of it, to remember the Lord's death and his resurrection, all that he does for us, we just give thanks to the Lord. Can you imagine the women as they walked to the tomb that early, early Easter morning? Going to the tomb, finding the stone rolled away from the door. Next slide, please. There we go. Can you imagine? And then they ran and told the other disciples. He's not there. He's risen. How excited they had been. I kind of imagine in my own eye, you know, in my own mind, what John and Peter felt as they ran to the tomb. And, you know, John was a little younger than Peter, so John outran Peter. But John's kind of a timid guy, and Peter, he just bursts right in and runs right into the tomb. And he sees that the body of our Lord Jesus is not there. It's gone. And he realizes he's risen. I think God is more joyful than all of us. And he's having a great time celebrating in heaven today with the angel. And that's why Jesus spoke in John's Gospel, chapter 14 and verse 19, and says, "Because I live, you will live also." He says that to believers like you and me. And how exciting. Because Jesus wants his followers to enjoy life to the fullest. Earlier, Jesus said in John chapter 10, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." That abundant life that God wants for us is a part of Easter and what we all do. Do you like those things? We're going to, how many already ate one this morning? Nobody. Well, I didn't either. And if you're really good, I'm going to eat one before the end. Notice I said, I am going to eat it. So you watch it. Don't you dare get that, Carter. Jesus wants us to enjoy life to the fullest. And so to help us, he gives us four truths packed into this little verse of scripture. Four truths that Jesus wants you and me to know so that we can really enjoy Easter Sunday. What are those truths? The first of those truths, know the reason for Jesus' resurrection. There is a cause and effect for everything under the sun, no matter what it is. The warm spring days make the little buds come out on the trees. The warm sun. The mother robin. She lays her eggs. And they hatch into baby robins. The resurrection of Jesus is the cause for so many things in our lives. And we can think about that today as we ponder all that Jesus does. Now, you're going to want to pull out of your bulletin sermon sheet that looks like that, and you can fill in the blanks as you go, okay? And if you have any questions, holler for me, okay? And I'll try to tell you. The cause and effect of the resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus declares and proves Jesus' deity, that he is God. Acts chapter 17, verse 31. He has given proof by verifying, by raising from the dead. Acts chapter 17, 31. The proof that he is God is that he rose from the dead. But not only this, the resurrection of Jesus brings us what the Bible calls justification. Romans chapter 4, the last verse. Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. What's justification? That great big long word. A good way to remember it. Just if I'd never sinned. When a person comes to know Jesus as Savior by faith, God looks on us who have been saved just as if we had never, ever, ever, ever sinned. He cleans us up. Saves us. The Bible calls it justifies. Look at our text. Jesus said, because I live, John 14, 19, because I live, you will live also. That big word, because. The very reason that you are living today is because Jesus lives. The very reason that we have hope for tomorrow, Jesus lives. The reason believers will live forever and ever in eternity is because Jesus lives. That's what it's about. And we have reason to celebrate with faith in the resurrection. The effect will be abundant life in Christ. Jesus said, because I live, you will live also. Now, another truth that I want us to look at here. Know a close relationship with Jesus. Relationships are very, very important to all of us. But even more important to God. The reason he created you is so that he could be your friend, that he could have a relationship with you, with me. And when Jesus rose from the dead, first of all, he met Mary at the tomb. And he walked up to her and he called her by name. Why? Because he had a relationship, a friendship. That's right. You see, it's all about relationships with people. And that's the reason he rose from the dead. You can't have a relationship with a corpse. Jesus is alive. And the reason, because he wants a relationship with you. He wants a friendship with me. And he knows that we need a relationship with him. Yeah. It's a lonely life without relationships. And some of you know what loneliness is. Loneliness is horrible. But that friendship with Jesus, fellowship divine. Oh, what blessed sweet communion. Jesus is the friend of mine. In the context of this verse, verse 18, Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans. I think that's in your note sheet. I will come to you. God wants to be your friend. God wants to have a relationship with you. Proverbs chapter 18, it says this: there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And friends, I want to tell you, his name's Jesus. To be a friend, to have a relationship, there must be an agreement on the part of both people. For me to be a friend with Carter, he has to agree to be my friend, and I have to agree to be his friend, right? Yeah. So important. If he'd say, I don't want to be your friend, there could not be a relationship, could there? And so it takes a decision on the part of both people. Jesus chose to die on the cross for you and me. He chose to be raised from the dead for you and me. Now the choice is up to us. Do we want to be his friend? I do. And I want to be a friend to Jesus all of my life. The gospel song In the Garden, written by C. Austin Miles, puts it this way: and he walks with me, he talks with me, and he tells me what? I am his own. And the joys we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Perhaps you say, but how can I have a relationship with somebody I haven't seen? Verse 19 alludes to this. The early part of the verse: before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. What does that mean? Three possibilities. Perhaps he's talking about his death, resurrection, and ascension. When he says, a little longer, or a little while, and the world will not see me anymore. It means just a little while, Jesus, who would die on the cross and raised from the dead, he ascended back to heaven. And the people of the world would not see him anymore. And he said to his disciples, but you'll see me again. You know why? Because Jesus is coming, isn't he? And he's going to come soon. Perhaps Jesus meant that when he says, but you will see me, perhaps he was talking about the many, many times after Jesus' resurrection that his disciples saw him. The Bible says that he was seen by over 500 people after he rose from the dead. It was really real, his resurrection. And if the story of the resurrection were a bunch of lies concocted by his disciples, I want to ask, would those disciples have given their life for a lie? No. The greatest proof of the resurrection is that the disciples saw him. They ate with him. They touched him. And they knew that Jesus was raised from the dead. And each of those disciples eventually gave their lives. Don't you get my peeps, Carter? Thank you for picking up my paper. Give him a hand. You're welcome. Okay, good. The disciples knew that Jesus had been resurrected. and laid down their own lives because they knew the truth. Another possibility, what Jesus meant when he said, the world won't see me, but you'll see me. When the Bible says, you will see me, could Jesus imply that we can see God at work in various ways in our lives that we accept by faith? William Fry was a pastor in the Episcopal Church. And to help put himself through college, he had a job to read to another student who was blind. And so he got to know this student, and the younger guy who was blind. One day, Fry asked him, "How did you lose your sight?" And the student said, "Well, there was a chemical explosion. And at age 13, I could see no more." Fry asked, "How did that make you feel?" He said, "I thought life was over." He said, "I felt so hopeless, so helpless. I hated God," the young guy said. "And for the first 6 months, I did nothing to improve my life. I wouldn't eat meals with my family. I sat alone in my room. And one day, about 6 months after the explosion, my dad came into my room and said, 'John, winter's coming, and the storm windows need to be put up on the house. That's your job. I want them hung by the time I get home this evening, or else.'" With that, Father walked out of the room, slammed the door. He said, "I was so angry. I thought, who does he think he is? I'm blind. I can't see. How am I going to hang those storm windows on the house?" But in my fit of anger, I decided I'm going to do it. And he said, "I felt my way to the garage and found the ladder. And I got the step ladder out and I moved it over, put it beside the window, got the storm windows. I put them up one by one. Sure, it was hard. But I did it." Young man said, "I got the windows up. And I found out later that never at any moment was my father more than 5 feet away from me." Whenever you go through the tough time, whenever you can't seem to see God, you can believe that he's right there. And the trial you're going through will just last a little while in comparison to all of eternity. Jesus said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus wants a relationship with you. He knows that you can't do life without him. And some people here are lonely. There are others who, like John, are angry. But Jesus wants to fill those lonely moments with his friendship. He wants to help you with the angers that you live with every day. And he can. And he will. Hallelujah. And so that brings me to the third truth. If you're really going to enjoy Easter, when Jesus said, because I live, you will live also. Know the real meaning of life. Jesus said, you will live also. Jesus is living. He rose from the dead. Yes, Jesus was dead as he hung on the cross to pay the punishment for your sins, for my sins. He died. A soldier took a spear and put it up through his side. He was deader than dead. His heart stopped beating. His brain waves stopped. His breathing came to a halt. But by a miracle, the miracle of resurrection, on that Easter Sunday morning, his heart started to pump again. And the responses of his brain, he were very alert. And although he had been previously declared dead, now he walked right up to Mary. He called her by name. His breathing was real. He even had an appetite. And he sat with the disciples along the Sea of Galilee, and they had fish for breakfast. Do you ever have fish? How many have had fish for breakfast? Pretty good. I could have another breakfast right about now. I think it's going to be Pete. Yeah. His emotions were right there. He loved people. Just as much after his resurrection as before he died. He felt joy seeing the beauty of creation. In the Greek language, Jesus used the present tense. He says, because I am living. It implies a continual action. Jesus was resurrected to never die again. The Bible tells you about other people who were dead and came back to life. But they all died again. Jesus died and was raised to never die again. He says, because I am living. Very much alive today. And Jesus said, because I am living, you will live also. What a promise. A promise that God made. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's see what the real meaning of life is not. It's not how many dollars you can accumulate. It's not how many sex partners you can have. Nor is it how many bottles of beer you can drink. Nor isn't it even how many marshmallow peeps you can eat. I really like these things. How many would... Dennis, too, look out. These are mine. My grandson gave them to me. It's not what you have done or have not done. It's what Jesus did for you when he died on the cross and rose from the dead. That's what it's about. So that you could have life. And that, Jesus could say, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Abundant life is more than just having your heart beat. Abundant life is more than just walking around on two legs. Abundant life is much more than being able to laugh and talk and love. But the abundant life is seeing Jesus at work all around. The abundant life is being able to rejoice in what God is doing in your family, in your workplace, in our nation, all around us. Even though we're living in troublesome times, the abundant life is the assurance that Jesus is right there to carry you through whatever you're doing. God wants you to live abundantly, walking with the confidence that he is guiding you, enabling you, protecting you, healing your body, healing your relationships. Jesus says, because I live, you will live. And he meant it to the fullest. Another truth, the fourth of the truths. Know this Easter, the reassurance of future life. Focus on the word will. Because I live, Jesus said, you will live. That's what he said. This is a promise to you. To me, there's not a doubt in our minds. Jesus says, you will live. What a promise. A promise made by God himself to you, to me. A couple ideas here. Number one, God's interested in your life right here on earth. He is. And he wants to guide you tomorrow and next week and next month if Jesus tarries. He wants to protect you. He wants to help your marriage, your family, situations. He wants to give you wisdom for the decisions that you have to make this week. Yes, because I live, Jesus says, you also will live. But let's go on. Jesus is interested in your future life even after you check out of this world. And you know, the time's coming. If Jesus tarries, I'll breathe my last here on this earth. The Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. There's a heaven to gain, and there's a hell to shun, friends. And God has better things in store for you than this human body can ever imagine. And He wants to give you His gift of eternal life. Even as the Bible says, the gift of God is eternal life. Heaven is much better than this old place. Back to the cause and effect we talked about earlier. Life abundant right on here on earth is one thing. But life abundantly in heaven, eternity, is the result of Jesus' death and resurrection. You see, it's not about us. It's not about what we do or don't do. It's what Jesus did for us when He died on the cross and rose from the dead. Hallelujah. Now, those marshmallow peeps, and when you eat a marshmallow peep, Dennis, what end do you start on? You start on the head end or the tail end? Think about it. That peep looks pretty nice. But you can't really enjoy it till it gets into you. It's kind of like Jesus. People believe a lot of things about Him. But He wants to come into your life. He wants to become part of you. He wants to bring the joy into you this Easter season. Have you ever asked Jesus to come into your life? Some of you have. Long time ago, I knelt beside my bed. I said, Jesus, I know I've sinned, but I ask You to come into my life and forgive my sins. The Bible says it this way, but as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. The Bible says in the book of the Revelation, behold, I stand, and Jesus is talking, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, I will come into him. What's that mean? That He becomes part of our lives because He wants to have a relationship with you, a relationship with me. Let's bow our heads. If you've never before asked Jesus into your life to forgive your sins, and we all have them, sins that is, you can invite Jesus in today. But no better day than Easter Sunday 2016 to say, Jesus, I want You in my life. So I'm going to lead you in prayer. And I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Oh God, I know that I sinned, but I believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay the punishment for my sins. He was raised from the dead so that he can live with me and in me. And the day I receive Christ as my Savior, this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. While your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, who here prayed that prayer for the very first time? Thank you, sir. Somebody else. For the first time in your life, you realize, I need God in my life. I want to pray for you. Oh God, I thank you for this person that asked Jesus into their life today. And I pray that you'll enable him to live for you, empower him, and become part of his life. And we receive your gift of eternal life in Jesus' name.